Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Kyle Dubas, though, a week ago, talking about Sidney Crosby. And we start today with that because there's a new report out from Rob Rossi in The Athletic. Sidney Crosby nearing new contract with the Penguins, per sources. Multiple team and league sources who've been briefed on these negotiations have informed The Athletic that they are closing in on a new deal. Rob's just very first sentence and second sentence say that, and then say that the team and the player are confident a deal will be agreed on and formalized soon, according to those sources. This was Dubas, by the way, talking about the specifics of a Sid extension.
It's a private matter with Sid, Pat, and myself and our ownership, and we'll keep it that way.
All right, so he's saying keep it. It's me and the agent and the player and owner and FSG, and it's our business, and we're not going to tell you. But this is the one domino that does need to fall. In Rob's story, he does go on to say towards the very end that both parties here are aware that the longer this drags on with no extension, the more people start to wonder about what Crosby's future here is. I'll throw this out there. Everything in Rob's story that was notable to me was notable because at no point was there any kind of acknowledgement of how hard of a rebuild this is going to be. All the analysis done in Rob's story, everything he wrote, suggests that Crosby might get a little bump in pay because he's over 35. You can't do any of these goofy deals anymore. The NHL has a very specific rule where you can't just backload deals to try to make them more palatable for your team. Deals that you have, like, essentially no intention to honor, let's say. He goes into all these details. He talks about how at no point does he say, like, hey, both sides know this is going to be a tall order. He talks about it like it could be $10 million for 3 more years, $10 million annually. We know Crosby's made 8.7 in terms of cap hit in his last two deals because he's superstitious, but Rob thinks this could be primed for a little jump here. Everything I took from the story, everything I took out of it, sort of suggested one thing to me. There is, I think, a disconnect between how people internally with that organization feel about that team's chances and how people on the outside are starting to view the Penguins. On the inside, I get the distinct sense that Kyle Dubas, even though he is aware that they need some serious retooling and that it's not going to be necessarily an easy process, Kyle Dubas thinks he can build a winner here. I don't get the sense from anything he said or anything that gets written about them that he's paying lip service to the idea because he knows that's who he works for now, and that's the only expectation ever, is that you always find ways to win. I also get the sense from reading this story that Sidney Crosby genuinely believes that he and the Penguins will compete again. That signing a deal here does not preclude him from competing for Stanley Cups as he enters into his 40s. And that's like really what matters here. We're not talking about a team that would be happy to get to the postseason for whom that would mean something or win a postseason series. These are not the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hey, let's get in and maybe something cool will happen. These are the Penguins. This is a team where cups were supposed to be not a birthright, but an expectation more years than not. One of the rare teams in any professional sport where you could honestly say about them, they expect to compete for a championship year in and year out. And more or less for the entirety of Crosby's tenure, minus the last couple of years, you could squint and make that true. There were even people who shall remain nameless who said they were going to win the Stanley Cup this past year. I wouldn't know any of those people, or maybe I would. And maybe they would normally be sitting in the chair that I'm in right now. But it was notable to me that at no point in this story did Rob hint at like the enormity of the task here, how far away, or hint at the idea that anyone involved views this as anything but we're going to sign them, we're going to lock them up, and then we're going to build a contender around them. That's how they're all looking at it. And that's nice and all, but if you're a fan of this team, I feel like you've probably got a better handle on how things are really going to likely shake out than the people running it do. I get the distinct sense that most fans of the Penguins understand that they will be very fortunate to even get back to a conference final in the rest of Sidney Crosby's career. That's how much work has to be done. Evgeny Malkin's probably a lock to retire after the 25-26 season. Chris Letang has his deal alter a little bit after that season. Crosby wants to play, I would think, even well beyond that. Takes him through that point. And he seems to feel like this team is on the right path to being a contender. They got a lot of work to do. My question would be this, very simply. Crosby is, according to Rob Rossi's reporting, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are very close to coming to terms formally, getting the I's dotted, the T's crossed on a new contract. Bottom line question is this, 412-928-9370. Because I think the answer, unfortunately, is no, even though I would never put anything past the player himself. But I'll get out ahead of it and say it's no. 412-928-9370. Assuming if and when Sidney Crosby inks this purported 3-year deal that seems likely to happen, will the Penguins ever make it back to the Stanley Cup final while he's still wearing their sweater? Has the door fully shut on them getting that close to a championship under Sidney Crosby's watch? 412-928-9370. Like, you would think normally, and by the way, that's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. They're a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Like, there would be, it would be, I guess, reasonable to think, hey, they can build something around him. This isn't going to be just a farewell tour. This isn't just going to be a nostalgia act while you try to build up youth around him. But that seems more reasonable than real contender forms, coalesces around 87, and team ends up winning multiple playoff series and looking like a serious threat. It looks more likely right now like the Penguins are just structurally much closer to being a team where Crosby is the novelty that gets fans to come in the door in about 2 years because he's still playing at a high level, because of course he still will be, and that the team is rebuilding around him, but there's some goodwill because you're getting to watch this guy play the last years of his career out here and still produce, then it looks more likely that that's your situation than it does Sidney Crosby is still the best player on a team that is surrounded by up-and-coming young talent, has figured out its goaltending situation, is getting contributions, significant ones still, in the next 2 years from its aging core of veterans, and retools on the fly into a real nasty outfit that is tough to beat in the Metro and the East. I just have a hard time with that. 412-928-9370 to get involved. Do you think the Pirates, do you think the Penguins will play for another Stanley Cup for as long as Sidney Crosby is still on the roster, still with the franchise? And he wants to play his whole career as a Penguin. That's another detail in this story. It's very obvious that Crosby sees value in there in being a one franchise guy. He thinks that that matters to his legacy. I think there's a loyalty factor here. There's this idea of commitment that he feels obligated, that there's a sense that he maybe doesn't feel obligated to the Penguins, but that it matters to him to commit to them so that they can commit to trying to build something around him. I just feel like that's going to be way more of a one-way street than it otherwise should be. I think if he's that committed to them, I think they're going to have a hard time reciprocating said commitment. 412-928-9370. Donnie, you get this this news here that they're close on a deal. Do you think they ever play for anything significant again for his, let's say he plays, what, would be 5 more years? He's got 1 more year left on this deal, so maybe four more. Let's say he plays 4 more years here. Do they see a Stanley Cup final in his tenure the rest of the way?
I don't know if we see another Stanley Cup final. I think we could see another playoff run that maybe gets them to a Eastern Conference final. But, I mean, right now we're kind of just pulling at straws and hoping that they can win a playoff series. I mean, I know that they gave us back-to-back Stanley Cups within the last decade, but we're kind of reaching that territory that we get on about the Steelers to make that comparison. Like, playoff wins have been dry. It's a little bit different in hockey, obviously. You have a whole series, but playoff series wins have been very dry. I don't know if we get if we see the Penguins get back to the final round, a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Do they even get to an Eastern final?
I think they can maybe get to one in the next 5 years.
So if he tacks on 3 more years, he'd have 2 beyond the end of Malkin's contract and then 2 beyond when Letang's no movement clause shifts and becomes less punitive. My thing here is he's signing on. It obviously, you know, matters to him, like I just said, to be a one city guy. And maybe if he wants to, he would have a career here post-hockey if he wanted to stay involved at the front office level. It just feels like everything else about them other than his play is slowly going down a hill in the wrong direction. And signing him to a deal that's more or less fair market value or close to it doesn't really do anything to help them alleviate their other issues here. That's what I can't get past here. He seems gung-ho, they seem gung-ho. And everybody else watching on the outside is going like, you sure about that?
Yeah, it depends how much faith you have in Kyle Dubas and I guess Mike Sullivan. I mean, if he's here 5 years from now, then I guess things should have gone in a more positive direction than what they currently are. I have no fear that Sidney Crosby will continue to play at an elite level. Like, that's how much I believe in his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just seems like, you know, like a Tom Brady type that he can get close to or well into his 40s and still be a very, very, very good player.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.